Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about biblical theological anemia. We're talking today with Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis pastoring up in Folkestone, Georgia. And any of the folks up there that's listening, I pray that you will continue to stay tuned. And I pray that you'll continue to hold the hands up of Pastor Davis as he preaches the word and teaches the word and reaches others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need in our churches today, in our churches, in the pulpits, is to preach and teach the word of God. Pastor Davis, before we get back to the text that we read just before the break for the news, I need to say something further about this thing of studying the word and knowing the word and preaching the word and being committed to it. It was Dr. Richard Land a number of years ago that made the statement, if I can find his statement. Pastor Dr. Richard Land, he was with the Southern Baptist Convention. He's now retired. He said, preaching was never intended of God to make one feel good, but to bring conviction to the hearts of the listener.
Amen.
That's the purpose of preaching, ladies and gentlemen, not to make you feel good, not to make you cause you to be entertained, but to bring about conviction that there might be a commitment of one's life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the purpose of preaching. There's so many today that's preaching false theology, false doctrine, that multitudes, and listen, just as we read the text before the break, we're in the days of chaos and confusion. We're in the dark days of the last days before the church is raptured out. We're in the days where a person will fall away from the truth of the Word of God. It's called apostasy. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But first, let me give you, ladies and gentlemen, just a little understanding of why apostasy is so much on the fast track today. Pastor Davis, I believe it's because of some that are preaching false theology, false doctrine, and that are entertaining the people. For example, Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley pastors church. He said there's 34,000 members. I believe he's just riding on the coattails of a famous dad, Charles Stanley. But nevertheless, Andy Stanley said, the Ten Commandments are not relevant to modern Christians today. Andy Stanley said, we must come unhitched from the Old Testament today. Andy Stanley said, we must accept science and not the Bible when it comes to the question of evolution versus creationism. Andy Stanley says that resurrection has nothing to do with Easter. And we find people like Dr. J.D. Greer, the pastor, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. We must embrace the LGBTQ agenda. The LGBTQ sin is no worse than the sin of gluttony, he says. Then there's that Rob Bell. In his book, Love Wins, he said, hell is just the last stopping place before we enter into heaven. And the Pope has said, ladies and gentlemen, listen, the Pope says there's no place called hell. The Pope has said the homosexual should not be concerned because God created you that way and it's not sin. The Pope said the Bible is out of date and should be rewritten. The Pope has said the Lord's Prayer is not correct and he's going to have to correct it. The Pope said salvation is to believe in Jesus and the Catholic Church. The Pope said, Jesus is not God incarnate. He's not God at all. The Pope said, it's sin not to believe in climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, these and multitudes of others with the false teachings. You have people like T.D. Jakes out there that says he denies and rejects the Trinity. He is not a Trinitarian. He does not reject homosexuality as sin. He condemns Jesus for not doing enough for poor people. He believes that each church has the right to have its own convictions and values, regardless of what the Bible teaches. He believes that Christians can decree wealth, and if you decree it, God's going to do it. He believes that Jesus died on the cross to give us power to claim our prosperity. Then there is Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and Paula White and Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Hagin and so many of the others that are preaching and teaching false theology and false doctrine. No wonder, Pastor Davis, we have so many people in the pews today, Christians they're called, that do not believe the Word of God, that do not understand the Word of God, that have turned away from the Word of God. The text you read a moment ago in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Pastor Davis, what is it saying to us? What is that text saying to us today?
Well, the number one thing I think we should take away from that, Dr. Youngblood, is to get serious about our faith.
Yes.
Because the Spirit is warning us.
Yes.
About things that are out there. You know, it's a difference when you walk into a situation not knowing and something overtakes you. But when you are being warned in advance, then there's no excuse.
That's right.
We have it right here in the Word of God. The Spirit speaketh expressly with rhetoric. He's speaking out loudly to the church,
yes,
to the believers. Now, I also have to understand why Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have the Spirit of God down on the inside, it's impossible for you to hear mm-hmm. what the Spirit is saying.
Right.
But he's speaking expressly. He's saying that in the latter times, and we're living in those times right now.
Absolutely.
Amen. He said that some shall depart from the faith. You can point these people out easily. They stand out. They stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Because as you just got through saying, you named a few people and the stuff that they believed in and the rhetoric. Well, I don't even want to call it that. It basically amounts to garbage.
Garbage.
Because there's no salvation in what they're teaching.
None.
There's nothing beneficial in it for the people who are listening. But the stuff that they are teaching has no salvation. It doesn't point to heaven. It doesn't point to God. It doesn't say anything about his word. Now, if none of these things are in that they are teaching, then how can they stand, Dr. Youngblood? There's no foundation there.
That's right.
These people, this is the reason why they are wandering around out there, so lost, not knowing what to do, and the chaos, the trouble that we are facing out in the world today, the darkness, things are happening in such rapid succession until it's keeping them on the edge of their seats, wondering what to do next, instead of letting God take control of the situation and control their lives.
Absolutely.
He will lead us and guide us into where we need to go. I have never known God to lead us down a dead-end road.
That's right.
If we learn how to trust and depend on him, like the scripture says we ought to, then we won't have to worry about anything overtaking us suddenly. He says here, he said that they will give heed to seducing spirits. Mm-hmm. For me, Dr. Youngblood, that's being in a spirit of drunken stupor.
Yes.
It's almost like, I don't know if some of these young people can remember this on the day. Some of you, amen, that have a few years of life that's been in this world, on the day that you used to drink the Jack Daniels. Amen. What that stuff does to you is put you in such a state of stupor, Dr. Youngblood, till sometimes you don't even remember things after it happens right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening right now on today. Things are happening right before our faces, Dr. Youngblood, and these people that don't know God, that don't have the Spirit, that have been seduced, they're believing the lies.
Yes.
They're believing the mirages. That's all the devil is putting out there. A mirage for you to look at.
I've said so many times, Pastor, I don't know how a non-Christian survives in society today.
Amen.
If there's not the rock, and that rock is Jesus, if there's not the rock, the foundation of the Word of God to hang on to, you can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The Scripture.
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
What we see taking place. That's the reason we find so many falling away. But the state of apostasy, the falling away from the church, falling away from the faith, and then as the text says that you just read, falling doctrines of demons.
Amen.
Doctrines of demons. Now, in your King James text in the English Bible, it says devils. There's not but one devil, and the word in the Greek text is demons, and so we get our word demons. So it's following the doctrines of demons. Ladies and gentlemen, would you have ever dreamed, would you have ever thought that there could be such a thing as following from teaching and preaching from the pulpit, following what would be called doctrines, that word doctrine means teachings, teachings of demons.
Amen.
Teachings of demons. That I just shudder at the thought, Pastor, that would be the case in society today. And that's what multitudes are following. And they're doing so, ladies and gentlemen, simply because of people standing in the pulpit that do not know the word, have not been trained in the word. Good intention, surely, must be good intention, I would pray. But nevertheless, teaching and preaching, what I have said for years and years and years, is goosebump theology, cotton candy theology, or voodoo theology, or some would call it kitchen theology, where it's a theological doctrinal bent that you've just simply decided this is what you believe. As I had a person a number of years ago, Pastor, that I was preaching and teaching on 1 Corinthians and happened to be in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 with the gifts of the Spirit and then the control of the gifts and then the misuse of the gifts in chapter 12, 13, and 14.
Amen.
And after the service had three young ladies came up and wanted to challenge me on what I'd said. And each time I'd make a statement, they'd say, but what about? And finally one of them said, and I quote, one of them said, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe.
My.
And that's exactly where, ladies and gentlemen, we find some men today, and perhaps you're there. That telephone number, by the way, if you want to ask a question, join in the dialogue and discussion, feel free to do so, 831-0917, 831-0917. This broadcast is designed around the Q&A program where you can ask a question. We give the dialogue and the discussion. We'd love to have your involvement in this discussion today. Pastor Davis, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1, 2, and 3, read that for our edification, and then we're going to talk about it for just a moment. And ladies and gentlemen, where we're going and what we're wanting to do is understand the problem and where that problem is located and how we can resolve it and what's needed in society today so that we will be able to understand the Word of God and have dialogue and discussion about it from a level of the Word of God and its contextual understanding. Pastor, read that for us.
Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verses 1 and 2.
1, 2, yes.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Anybody want to go with Jesus on today?
Amen.
Amen. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. There's that word again, deception.
Deception.
Amen.
Yes.
For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Yes.
Amen.
What the scripture is saying there, and then we can have dialogue and discussion on it, is that in the last of the last days, there's going to be an apostasy, a falling away. That is stated so definitively and so clearly. And in the text, it is an injunction for us not to be deceived by the false teachers, or not to be deceived in thinking that there's a problem that is not real when we see the falling away. But before the rapture of the church takes place, Pastor, and before the Antichrist steps on the scene, there will be that falling away.
Amen. Amen.
This is the reason we're seeing today the church is half filled. Now, part of the promulgating and the speeding up of that falling away, I believe, is because of the churches being shut down by the power of Caesar, that is the government.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Pastors not having the spine and the backbone to open. In fact, it was Andy Stanley's church. He said they're not opening until January of next year. In fact, he's been openly making fun of Dr. John MacArthur because Dr. MacArthur is fighting in the state of California against the governor in order for their church to remain open. Andy Stanley is making fun of that, ridiculing that, and saying that you ought to do what the government says. You won't find that any place in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, in the context of what the Scripture is saying. But, Pastor, apostasy, the falling away, is dominant today. Our churches are half full. The pulpits are filled with funny jokes and entertainment and pablum. Our people are being fed milk rather than the meat of the Word. And therefore, those in the pew are anemic. Those in the pew are anemic.
Amen.
Not able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. Most Christians today cannot answer some of the basic Bible questions. Some of those basic Bible questions are basic Bible challenges, if you will. Most Christians can't answer most of those about the Bible. Questions about the Bible, about creation, how many books in the Bible, the author of the Bible books, how many Bible books do we have, over what period of time was it written, what is sin, how can a person be born again, who is the Holy Spirit, is Jesus really God come into flesh, and multitudes of other serious questions that the people generally cannot answer. On one occasion, there was a little simple Bible quiz, and it was set up kind of as a quiz for pun to see what people would answer. And one of the questions, what is an epistle? And one put down the wife of an apostle.
Oh, goodness.
what is an epistle? It's the wife of an apostle. And that sounds super simplistic, but that's where multitudes are today.
Amen.
And so as a result of not knowing the Word, when the winds come, when the storms come, when the howling hurricane force theological doctrinal false teachings comes, they're not able to hang on, and they simply fall by the wayside as a result of it. Well, and I believe we're living in the last days.
You know the sad part about all of those questions and the answers to the questions that you just got through reading out, that Satan knows the answers to every one of those questions.
That's right.
And as much as he can use to throw at Christians, mm-hmm. to deceive them,
yes.
to blind their minds,
yes, absolutely,
to keep them away from knowing this truth, Dr. Youngblood, he knows by doing so, it'll keep them stumbling around in error to where they will never believe.
Absolutely.
Amen.
For those that will never believe, and for those that have said yes to Jesus, that they will never grow.
Amen.
Never grow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with a baby drinking milk, having a bottle. There's a whole lot wrong with it when that baby's 10 years old or 12 years old or 15 years old if he's still walking around with a bottle in his mouth.
Amen.
And that is true for Christians. That might sound fundamental. It might sound elementary, but it is to make a point that as we say yes to Jesus Christ, we need to be able to grow in the Word. Pastor Turn, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Pastor Glenn Davis, and we're looking at the subject today, theological biblical anemia. What causes the anemia? How is it found in the life and the work of the Christian? What is the resource that needs to be found? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Pastor, and I want you to read for our listeners and for the edification of our listeners the first four or five verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Amen. Brother Paul is saying this. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a charge there, a challenge from the Apostle Paul in his senior advice to young Timothy, the preacher boy, as I call him.
Amen.
Charging him with the responsibility of preaching the word. The word preach is the word caruso, to herald the word, to be instant in season, and to carry out the task of preaching. And then in verse 3 and 4, it tells us why that is so vital. Before we talk about that, Pastor, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question and comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Hi, Pastor Davis. How are you?
Hello. Oh, fine, fine.
I was calling because of the churches, and I had a statement to make. If you're going to a church and you don't like what you're hearing, you should ask yourself three questions. Is the Spirit stirring these feelings inside of me? Is this pastor speaking the words of judgment from the Bible or from their personal opinion? And what would God have you do about the feelings that you have? And lastly, in this world, with time speeding up and the return of Jesus growing closer and closer, if you're sitting at home watching TV, all I know that's on TV is other people recording from their houses. And then if you don't want to be a stalker and watch other people living life in their houses, go do something about it. Go learn more. Go audit a class. Be in the church. Be more active in Bible study. Do something with your time.
Amen. Very good questions and very good insight. In fact, if I understand what you're saying is, if you're seated in the pew and you're not being fed, if you're not understanding the word, if it's not causing conviction that causes you then to want to dig deeper in the word, not causing you to want to learn the word, study the word more, then you need to find a place where you can. And that's very simplistically put, but I believe very real and relevant today.
Amen.
For any Christian to be able to discern what God is saying and doing. And I can add to that, if you're in a church where your pastor's still hiding under the bed or in the closet, the church is closed, find a church that's open. Find a church where the Word of God is preached verse by verse and chapter by chapter, that you can be fed in and through the Word.
Amen.
And so that is the challenge, and I'm thankful that you've called and given that input and insight. You're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Pastor, as we talk about that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, 3, and 4. After Paul gets through challenging young Timothy to preach the word, he then gives the reason, because in verse 3, Pastor Davis, let me just take a moment and exegete that third verse, a little word for word. He says, for, and that little word for is the Greek word gar. He's given the reason, the because, he's given the cause of what he's just saying. If he says, preach the word, this is why he's saying to Timothy, preach the word. Not preach denominationalism, not preach cotton candy theology, not preach goosebump theology, not preach voodoo theology, but the word, W-O-R-D, the word of God. If we get out of the word, if we get away from the word, we're not preaching the word of God.
Amen.
He says, for, because the time will come. And may I do some changing without trying to destroy the scripture. The time has come when they, that's speaking of society in general, will not endure, not tolerate, not put up with, not accept sound, solid, correct, true doctrine, where doctrine is preaching and teaching there. Most want to hear some funny stories like is told in so many of the pulpits today. But we need to understand we're seeing the callousness of society.
Amen.
Where they are not going to put up with or tolerate sound doctrine. Now, the ones that put up with, tolerate, and seek for, and really thrive on sound doctrine are those that are blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. You can tell the difference. I've said many times, when I'm preaching from the pulpit, I can tell whether the person is in tune, whether the person is tuned in, tuned out, wants to drop out, or wants to continue to listen.
Amen.
And it makes the determination is made based on their relationship to the Lord, or whether or not they're accustomed to the meat of the word. And then you see in that verse, not just their callousness, but their carnality. But after their own lust, the scripture says, that is the carnal passion, cravings, and desires, shall they heap, that means to stack upon stack, to accumulate to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Itching ears is talking about the incessant, unsatisfied craving for something new, something novel, teaching and yearning for excitement and pleasure rather than teaching and wanting to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Most preaching today is only what the world is seeking. It is not talking about the truth of the Word of God, but just simply what people are wanting to see or hear. And then Paul tells young Timothy in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears, that is, literally, they will completely refuse to hear, will totally reject sound doctrine, sound truth, and shall be turned unto fables, that is mythos, that is turned into false teachings and myth. And the word turned there literally means to be twisted out of shape, out of joint, to be able to get away from the truth of what is being taught and said.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the need to have sound doctrine. And one of the major, major things, Pastor, that I want us to talk about in the last few minutes of the broadcast today is what can we do? What is the answer to that? Read for us 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And that's the answer, ladies and gentlemen. All that we've said and all that we've done, the answer is found in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It clearly states what we need to do. What
Amen.
Is that?
He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not unto the preacher, not unto the deacon, not unto the mothers, not unto the members. But you have to show yourself approved unto God.
That's right.
Amen. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So there is a right way to do it,
that's
Dr.
Right.
Youngblood.
That's right.
And there's a wrong way
wrong
to do it. And that's what the problem is. It's been being done wrong for so many years
right.
until many people are falling by the wayside.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That is to study. And let me just talk about that for a moment, Pastor. Study to show thyself approved. The word study means to give utmost diligence, to give total focus, to exert oneself, to do your very best, to make every effort, to be eager, to be zealous, to show, that is to present, to stand before
Amen.
God.
Amen.
As we stand before God, have we studied the Word? Can we present ourselves before Him with a persistent zeal, with a paramount commitment? Our commitment ought to be, should be, that which would be approved. It's a little Greek word study that I like there, Pastor Davis. It's called dokimos, the word approved.
Amen.
And as the illustration that I like to give when I'm preaching this text from the pulpit is in that culture of that day, they would form pottery pots or vases or containers, and after the clay had been molded, put into the, they didn't have the kilns back then, but put into the hot burning coals to cure it, then it would be held up to the sunshine. They would look through it, and if there's any crack on that, that you could see light through it, they would stamp on the bottom of it, "Ah, Dokimasu." Ah, Dokimasu, that means disapproved.
Amen.
It would be cast into a pile. It would be crushed and remolded into clay again to make something new. And so, ladies and gentlemen, our desire is to challenge you to study the Word that you might be approved, not ah, Dokimasu,
amen,
but Dokimasu, that you might be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, needeth not to be ashamed. I am saddened when I think of the subject of going through life haphazardly, partially, not wanting to really know the Word, not being willing to give the time and study, that you then stand before God, that you are ashamed of the work. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10. We're not saved by works, but we are saved, and after we're saved, it's the works for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor, before we our time is up today, I want to remind our listeners that you can do some studying. In fact, we have for the first time in the life and the history of Conservative Theological University, we've been around since 1982 to present, we've had the privilege of training hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men and women in the study of the Word of God for pastors, for associate pastors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, missionaries, evangelists, et cetera, and in doing so, we've had that privilege. But this is the first time. What we're offering this semester, ladies and gentlemen, is a full scholarship for online courses, not in classroom, but online courses for this semester. For the fall semester, you can get your online courses, and it is a 100% scholarship for tuition. You'll pay your enrollment fee, you'll pay you for your textbooks, but your tuition will be 100% scholarship paid. You can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information so that someone from admissions can get back with you and get you set up for a scheduled interview, that we can get you in classroom or online. But online, it's a 100% scholarship for this semester. For this semester only, that's 1-800-GO-BIBLE, Conservative Theological University. Love to have you enrolled. But if you're close enough, would like to, we would work with you on some type partial scholarship for in classroom. 1-800-GO-BIBLE, Conservative Theological University.
Amen.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on the air. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.